Hello, dear listener. This is Basement Gaming, episode 32. My name is Herb, and I'm joined by my dear cousin Brigham.
Hello.
On this week's episode, we answer the simple question, what do you do when you can't play video games? Also, Brigham gives us a quick rundown on BlizzCon, and we have a brief talk on video game conventions. As always, if you like the show, please give us a follow on Twitter at BasementGaming9, and send suggestion ideas in whatever topic you want us to cover next week. With the formalities out of the way, welcome to Basement Gaming. All right, Brigham. We're back.
We're back.
We missed last week because I just had one of the craziest weeks I think I've ever had in my life. in my eternal quest to avoid the cold at all costs, I moved to Texas. As a lot of people know, I live in Texas. And last week we were hit by this ice storm that Northerners would just scoff at. You know, it would just be a regular old snowfall for them. But for us, it was the absolute Armageddon of our time. So that's why we missed last week. Last week's episode, I had no power for a couple days. I still don't have water, or, you know, so that's pretty cool. But at least I have internet, I have power, so we're just like, all right, let's just go ahead and do this episode. But yeah, this has been pretty wild, man. Pretty wild.
Yeah, it's been kind of insane to see, you know, just my Facebook feed and the news, just, you know, all the people losing power for, you know, days in a row. And even the power did come back was, like, intermittent. So I can't even imagine, dude, like, going that long without power. I'd die of boredom of anything. That's insane.
You would think so, but then you're spending so much of your time trying to figure out, okay, where are we going to sleep tonight? Where are we going to shower? What are we going to eat? That, like, the boredom just kind of takes care of itself because you're literally just trying to survive at that point. So, yeah, there was luckily for us, we have a lot of family here in the Dallas area. So played a bit of house roulette where we just went from one house to the next depending on what amenities we needed. Because, like, throughout the week, at one point, I had power, but no internet or water. But then another cousin had power, internet, and presumably water. But then we get there, doesn't have water. So it's like, okay, I guess we'll just chill here and just use the internet and the power. And then the next day, we went to one place, I had power, internet, and water. No, power and just water, no internet. So yeah, we just, like, kind of bounced around. But anyway, throughout this whole time, you know, didn't really get any gaming done. And the whole time I was thinking of, like, all the times when I was a kid or growing up where, for whatever reason, I just couldn't play video games. We were stuck somewhere with no power or internet or, you know, whatever that situation is. And I want to see if you remember any of those situations in your time, Brigham, because I think we've shared a couple of those times in our lives where we're just like, we can't, you know, turn on a console and play whatever. What do we do now?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll never forget one of my Christmases I spent in Utah. And, you know, Christmas as a kid was usually when I ever got, like, most of my video games. I was so excited Christmas Day, took all these video games I asked for. And I got the games, but on Christmas Eve, there was a huge snowstorm. And on Christmas Day, all the power was out for the entire day. So it just destroyed my soul that, like, on Christmas Day, I got all these games and couldn't play any of them because it didn't have power. I felt like that episode from Twilight Zone where, like, the guy has all these books, but he broke his glasses so he can't read them. Yeah. That's how I felt. I was just like, what am I supposed to do? And, like, it was driving me insane. And, like, I actually ended up going over to, because I'm at my grandparents' house, went to my cousin's house, and he, on Christmas, got this little portable TV to connect to your GameCube. And he also had an AC charger for his GameCube. So you could play his GameCube if you plugged it into his car, the little AC port. So we just, like, chill in his car for a little bit and play for, like, you know, 10 minutes. Then have to turn off the car because I don't want the battery to die. And that was our gaming experience that day.
Wait a minute, well, you could just turn on the car.
Well, yeah, we could just turn on the car, but then we waste gas. So
yeah, I guess. 10 minute rounds.
Yep. It was Mario Kart, so, you know, it's, like, perfect time. But, yeah, I'll never forget that.
I remember when we were kids and we would go up to that cabin where we would go growing up whenever I come down. And obviously we had like, now that I think about it, why did we never bring our consoles? Because we definitely had consoles to bring.
I brought my consoles, but there was no internet there. So, and it was like back then, me and my friends all played Call of Duty and Halo. So it's kind of just like, if you don't have internet, then what games are you going to be playing?
Yeah, right. I think the default in those situations is to just play board games. I have a lot of memories of like back in Haiti when we had like no power, of just like me and the cousins just playing Scrabble or Monopoly. This is probably why I hate Monopoly, because I have this really negative connection with Monopoly now. It's just like, I only played it when there was no power. And then obviously I'm a child, I'm terrible at Monopoly, so I just get my ass beat the whole time and just like get super mad at it. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. The Monopoly, the board games were a good fallback. I remember playing lots of board games too whenever like the power went out in Texas and couldn't play games. I remember trying to convince my sister to play board games with me all the time, and because she hated playing board games. And I could convince her sometimes that the power was out and she didn't have anything to do either. So,
all right. So what are the best like powers out board games? Because I have a distant memory of us playing a lot of Ticket to Ride whenever we were in that cabin.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of that. We were never really a big Monopoly gang, I feel like. I think Monopoly was more earlier for me.
I was a huge fan of the game Life when I was a kid. Do you remember that game, the board game?
We never played that together.
Oh, it's fun. It's kind of like a little RPG in a way, because you get to choose whether you want to go to college or just take a job and like buy a house and like do all these different options. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
Sims
it's like,
the board game.
it really was Sims the board game. It was awesome. I freaking loved it. It was a ton of fun.
I feel like a couple of times people have described Life to me, and every time I'm just like, I don't want to play Sims on a board game. This sounds awful. I feel like that's the thing with board games in general. I feel every time I play them, I'm like, this could be a video game, and we could be having 10 times more fun.
So yeah, why are we doing this? I definitely see that. I think for a lot of basic games, I feel that lately, though, I've been playing a lot more advanced board games like Gloomhaven that are like, I play Gloomhaven both like the physical board game, and I've also played it virtually through Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah.
And that's one of those games where it's like, yeah, this is way more fun on a board. Like once you get board games, like a bunch of like little wooden meeples and like pieces you got to move around the board, it just feels good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think those are definitely better. Those might be better in person, because I think whenever I did the Tabletop Simulator with you guys, the fact that it was days on end before we went to my turn or something, I just lost interest. And I forgot, I was like, why did I even do last turn?
Yeah, that's another game too. That one's a lot more fun. Yeah, playing in real life too. So, yeah, but I totally see what you mean though. There's other games, especially whenever I played D&D. Every time I play D&D, man, I'm just like, this would be way more fun if it was just an MMO or like an RPG. Like,
I'd rather just play WoW.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time I'm playing D&D, it's like, let's just play WoW. I feel like it's just the closest thing to WoW on a board game. It's funny that there's so many board games now, like the tabletop stuff, that you still need internet to play. So if that's your board game option, you're also screwed if you lose internet.
That's a good point.
What was I gonna say? But yeah, like I've gotten a lot into card games recently. I think whenever we play board games with friends and stuff now, I think I'm getting more and more into like card based board games. At first I tried those like deck building games, like the Hobbit deck building games. The first time I played one of those, I was just so bad at it. I thought it was terrible. It was super boring. But then we played one together recently when I came to visit you, the like spaceship one.
Yeah. I forgot the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
It's like a space. Like you essentially just build a deck to make like fortresses, and you can have different units that can attack and stuff. And you essentially just play Yu-Gi-Oh! But with like deck building aspects to it. Star Realms. Okay. I actually liked that game a lot. I actually thought about getting it for myself.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah. I think card games for me are good because they tend to be quicker. Deck building games, not so much, but they tend to be a little bit quicker. And that's exactly what I like. You know, quick 15 to 20 minute rounds. So you can play like 3 or 4 rounds and then the time is just flew by, you know? Whereas, like, I feel like if you're just sitting down playing 1.5 hour to 2 hour game, you feel the 1.5, 2 hours, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You should play Dominion, too. Dominion's another really fun deck-building game. It's kind of Star Realms.
I think I have played it.
Yeah.
The ones that I don't like are mafia-type ones, where you're trying to find the imposter or the killer or something.
Oh, you don't like those?
Dude, I don't like trying to lie to people. I hate it.
Yeah.
That kind of game, that's what breaks friendships. People just start hurling insults at you. Just like, what are you talking about? Although the one time we played, this isn't a board game. One time we played Among Us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was pretty fun. That freaking, you found a way to die in the midst of three of your friends, and we still didn't find the killer.
I was triggered. That was crazy.
Exactly. You came back on, you're just like, I hate all of you. You're all terrible. Let's see here. What other games we can think of here that are just like really good? I think the whole purpose of having power and being able to play games for me was growing up, a lot of times I would lose power. So it kind of ingrained into me the whole autosave thing. Like, I'm so happy that autosave is a thing now, but now even still when I'm playing something, I'm sure a lot of gamers do this, when you're playing something really hard and then you get to a part where it's just like, I feel like there's a boss fight here, let me go ahead and save. Like, I feel like I do that like 10 more times just because I'm so scared I'm just going to lose power for no freaking reason.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, it's just like, oh, I'm playing this awesome single-player game. Oh, there goes the power. Can't play until tomorrow. Forgot to save. Gonna have to enjoy the last 30 minutes again, I guess.
Oh, yeah, dude. Losing saves is probably like one of the worst feelings ever. Or like the worst is actually is whenever you have a bugged save and you don't have any other save. You have to restart you have to choose between whether just giving up or restarting the entire game all over again, which at that point I just choose to give up altogether. But yeah.
I can imagine for you especially.
Yeah, I'm just like, F that, dude. I'm not
messing just like, all right, here we go again.
Yeah.
I guess I set my save better.
I'll never forget. I played this game. It was actually my sister's game on the Game Boy Advance. It was a Hamtaro game. Remember Hamtaro, the little hamster?
I do not.
A little hamster anime way back in the day. And there was a little Hamtaro game, and there was this one bug, which I looked it up afterwards, and it was like an in-game bug where, like, if you did this main storyline in a weird order, you would end up locking yourself out of progressing the game, and the only solution was to restart. And I restart.
Okay,
and
I know this now. I'm looking at, apparently it's a manga series. Apparently it's a manga series. It's a Japanese.
What does that mean?
Manga.
Oh.
Manga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I restarted the entire game because I really want to finish that game, and I was so close. Yeah, dude, Hamtaro.
That brings up one of my fallbacks whenever you do lose power is handheld stuff, so like Game Boy Advance and Game Boy SP when you had those, or SP.
Yeah, SP, the foldable Game Boy.
The foldable, I definitely had that one, yeah. I think I definitely had all of them, but yeah, that was a big thing, that happened this week when I didn't have power. It's like, this would be the perfect time to have a Switch because our cousin Stefan is here and he's just been like playing a Switch whenever we just couldn't do anything. So I'm just like, I guess that's good. But I was just on my phone the whole time. I think at least I had other shows to watch and like other hobbies to take care of, I guess, in that time.
Well, hey, you have your phone, you know, getting some Genshin Impact on your phone.
That would have been a good idea, to be honest. That would have been a good idea. But I think I would have to burn through all my battery to play that.
True. Yeah, that game would suck your battery.
And fast. Then the only way, at least for the first day, the only way to get batteries is like go to my car and just charge it up.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It probably would have been fine because it was freezing in my house and being warm in the car probably would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I guess we were trying to talk about like something else too. It's like, what do gamers do when they're not gaming, kind of thing? Because unfortunately, we kind of have to get torn away from our video game consoles and our computers sometimes. I don't know, like what is the one thing that you see, like one activity that you run into that you see is like, man, that's like a lot of gamers in this like little community. You ever notice anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of mentioned to you before, but I feel like a couple things. One, hacky sack. I feel like every gamer is like into hacky sack, and also more so is ultimate frisbee. I feel like ultimate frisbee is like it's a sport. You have to be athletic to be good at ultimate frisbee, but there's like this weird overlap between like frisbee ultimate frisbee players and like nerds, like tech nerds. Whether it's like, you know, just into like gadgets or into video games or movies, like I don't know if it's called movies, but yeah, like into video games. Is this, I don't know. Is it just me? Maybe you have more experience because you actually do play Ultimate Frisbee a lot.
I don't think it's just you. It is pretty widespread that like the Ultimate community is, they're pretty nerdy. Like nerdy in pretty much all the facets you can think of. Like I've met D&D nerds, I've met gaming nerds, I've met just like computer science nerds, just, you know, all pretty nerdy in general. I think it's quite the nerdy sport when you first think about it. But then you see people at like a high level play and just like, oh man, these are like actual real athletes. It's like these guys can actually like move their bodies properly, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's definitely an overlap there. I've met a lot of like Ultimate players that love D&D though. It's been strange, especially in the last couple of years. It's like, what? It's like a good, it's like multiple dozens of them. Bring up, there are dozens of them. And yeah, and I'm seeing like a lot of like an anime and manga people tend to be gamers too. That's a big overlap one. Okay, so I started golfing recently. And I'm noticing more and more people that I golf like to play games. I don't know. That's just a random one. I don't know if it's actually widespread. It's probably not. It's just like the small circle of people that I know that play golf. Yeah. Is just like also.
Well, that makes more sense to me though, because golf is like, you know, it's a much more chill sport. You know, you can do it. You don't have to be like super, I don't want to say you don't have to be super athletic because you have to work out and stuff, but you don't have to be like, you know, you don't have to have like a six pack. You don't have to be like a football player, you know what I mean? Or a basketball player, like that build to play golf. And also plays like Top Golf and stuff. That makes it a lot easier
pretty
to
much like they're pretty much mini games like Top
Golf. Yeah, exactly.
Is a place with mini games.
Yeah. So I can kind of see that more. That makes sense. Which is funny. I feel like golf's been on the rise lately too. I've been thinking about sometimes what kind of wish I was like by Top Golf and wouldn't mind trying that out. But yeah, no, that's a good point too.
Golf on the rise, huh? What a time.
Yeah. I know, dude.
It's just one of those like COVID friendly things to do.
That so is true.
You can just go and do it, but it's not. You know, go ahead.
I was going to say the ultimate, that means if, you know, for ultimate frisbee and golf are the two big things, the ultimate conclusion is going to be frisbee golf.
Yeah. Frisbee golf. I feel like I know a lot of people that just kind of fell into frisbee golf last year and a half, just because it's like, well, we can't play frisbee, or you can, I guess, if you feel like you want to risk it, if you're willing to risk it, but it's, typically, you get pretty close and personal with other people, so not exactly COVID friendly, unless you're wearing a mask the whole time. Which even then, I feel like you're just breathing heavy around people. But
frisbee golf, you're just out there by yourself, or if you're with friends, you got some distance. So
yeah, exactly. It's just like a couple of people at a time, you know, just like golf.
Mm-hmm.
I've been meaning to, we'll get into a frisbee golf thing here, but I've been meaning to get more into frisbee golf, but I've been so focused on just actual golf, which is a venture on its own already. I'm just like, I just need to focus on this for now. We'll figure out this. We'll figure out the other fun golf later, I guess.
Well, speaking about things you can do when you can't game and talk about mobile games, it kind of reminded me of Diablo Immortal, which is one of the things they talked about at BlizzCon that happened just last weekend. So
isn't that the same game that they brought out like a while ago, and then people booed it because it was from mobile, and he goes like, what, don't you guys like mobile games? Is that the same game?
It was the game they announced a couple years back, two BlizzCons ago, and during the presentation the guy was like, do you guys not have phones? Yeah, like, you guys have phones, right? Yeah, so I mean, it was definitely memed on. Very bad PR kind of situation, because everyone was expecting Diablo 4. Like, everyone's like, okay, they're making Diablo 4. They come out beforehand and be like, hey, we have a big Diablo announcement. Everyone assumes it's going to be Diablo 4 and it's a mobile game. Like, of course, people are going to be pissed. But anyway, they actually did have a little tester that they did, like, in New Zealand and Australia for Diablo Immortal probably about a month back. And, you know, reviewers got to play it. And it's gotten really good reviews so far. It's been testing really well. And honestly, after seeing some gameplay of it at BlizzCon, it looks really fun. And I'm super excited to play it. Like, the gameplay looks very smooth. The combat actually looks better than combat for Diablo 3. And like how there's actually different types of like strategy you have to involve. It kind of seems more like a dungeon or World of Warcraft instead of just like, you know, AoE spamming. In Diablo 3, you actually have to, you know, use some sort of like team cooperation to get through some of the stuff. And it's coming out this year, and I can't wait. And that was like one of the big things they announced. They kind of talked about at BlizzCon this year. And I'm just kind of interested, like, you know, I know you played Diablo 3 and you weren't that interested in it, but would you play a free-to-play Diablo mobile game?
I'm going to try it out, maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to use my phone for games a little bit more. That's one thing I've never really used my phone for. And I kind of wonder how it would fare. Because one of the things that they advertise a lot for smartphones these days is gaming aspects of it, especially the Samsung phones. Not so much the iPhones, but I'm pretty sure they can probably hold their own. So that's something I could probably like look into a little bit more. But yeah. I don't know. Diablo, it's like the dungeon crawler genre in general hasn't been something that I've really like liked or delved into too much. So maybe that's another thing I can just kind of try to give another shot and see if I like it a little bit more.
Yeah. Especially I think the changes that they're making are going to be really good for Diablo Immortal and for Diablo 4. I think you'll enjoy it a lot more than you did Diablo 3.
Man, Diablo, it's just like a clicking simulator, man. It's just like, clack, 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 clack. It's like my hand just got so tired. It's like, I play League of Legends. Like, there's a lot of clicking in there, and I've never really felt like my hand was hurting, but Diablo was just like, God, how many times do I have to click to do anything?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I definitely enjoy Diablo a lot more on console than on PC, just the way, just because I can move the joystick. It's just a lot smoother, I think, in my opinion. But yeah, they talk about Diablo 4. They announced a new class. It looks awesome. This rogue class. That game just keeps looking better and better. Dude, Diablo 4 is going to be so good. It's going to have like just one server. It's all, every people with anybody you want around the world. Like it's going to be like, you know, these areas kind of Destiny where there's these zones that are like, you know, it's public areas. So you can run across other people. There'll be like giant, you know, elite monsters. You have to have a group of people to kill. There's still a bunch of solo content and the world's like always evolving. Like, I don't know. Everything they say about Diablo 4 just makes me so hyped. It's going to be a good game. But that game is not going to come out for at least another year. So
I don't know, Bergman. I feel like you get really hyped for a lot of stuff right now.
I do get hyped, but I mean, Diablo 4 wasn't originally hyped, but the more I see of it. And speaking of other hyped games, dude, Overwatch 2. Overwatch 2, dude. Okay, so Overwatch 2, I know people are kind of like bored of it, whatever, but they announced a ton of PvE stuff for Overwatch 2. And as someone who really is interested in like the characters and the story, like the story missions that they have for Overwatch 2 look so good. They have like these like talent trees for each character. So whenever you do these story missions, and you can do these like side missions as well, you can like get XP to like to add more talents and abilities to your characters. And you can go back and do them with different characters, and it'll like do different voice dialogues to like, you know, unlock more story basically. And I don't know, it just seems they're putting in a ton of effort into PvE, which is kind of surprising because, you know, obviously Overwatch is a PvP focused game, but it seems like they really want to try to, you know, they want to add this PvE element to the game and get people who do PvP into PvE. And it's honestly working. Like, it's gotten a really good positive review so far, like you know, positive feedback that I've seen online. And as someone like myself, I didn't really care that much about the PvE originally when they announced it, but now I think that's the thing I'm most excited about with Overwatch 2. Would you ever get back into Overwatch?
I'm never say never. I feel like you got me back into it for like a spell. After I really quit it, I got back into it for like a day after I quit it, and it was just like, now I remember why I hate this game. So we'll see. Never say never. Speaking of like a re-release of a game or a 2.0. Did you hear about like PUBG 2.0? I kind of heard it in passing on someone's stream, and I'm just like, is this a thing? Is this happening? If it is, then I'm moderately excited, because I think PUBG, when it first came out, I have like a huge amount of respect for PUBG, especially for when it first came out. But I just feel like the battle royale genre has just gone so far away from it in terms of just like how it runs, like the movement. They just do a lot. There's a lot of things that Battle Royale has just done better than PUBG is doing right now. And PUBG has like this huge hacking problem right now too, or cheater problem too, that they have yet to fix, that a lot of people are saying are just like super pissed. But a PUBG 2.0 that just like has and they're using the new Unreal Engine. Like the new next gen Unreal Engine, like that we saw, I think during like a PS5 conference, we saw like a little demo of like what it would look like. So it would theoretically look freaking amazing. So, and the movement, that which is probably like my biggest problem with PUBG, is just I feel like whenever you move around in that game, it just feels like I have cinder blocks around my ankles. And just like open anything simple as like opening a door is just such a chore. And like picking up weapons is just so sluggish and weird. Like everything about that game just feels super sluggish, except for the one thing they do well, which is the gun combat. Like their gun mechanics are really, really good. Like definitely the best ones out of all of them, out of all the battle royales. It's literally the only thing they have that's really been quality. Everything else, anytime I'm in that game, I feel awful. Like, I feel terrible in that game. So a better engine, anti-cheaters, and that alone will make that game a lot more appealing to me. So I don't know if you feel like you'd ever get back into PUBG if they actually did a 2.0.
Probably not. If it's part of just normal PUBG and it's an update for it, then I'll try it out. But if I have to buy the game again or something, then if it's like a full PUBG 2, then no. I'm kind of done buying Battle Royales, just because I think, you know, there's so many good ones that are free, like Warzone and Apex Legends. And to be honest, I never really loved PUBG. Like, I thought it was cool, especially at the time when it was, you know, fresh and there weren't many other Battle Royales. It was definitely cool, but I mean, now, like you said, there's other games that I think catch my attention a lot more. Even like Escape from Tarkov. Like, I was hearing about that game. That game sounds awesome, some of the stuff that they do.
It sounds so, right up your alley, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Things like that sound way more interesting to me than the kind of PUBG style. So, I don't know. I'm also just not super into first-person shooters. So, I think it's just safe for me to say that I'm kind of done with that genre. But who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully that's real. I don't know how real it is, but yeah, kind of just thing I just randomly heard. It's like, oh my God, please.
Yeah.
I think me and my friends, PUBG was, we put in quite a bit of hours in that. So it'd be pretty fun if a better version of it came out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and lastly, I want to mention with BlizzCon, they did announce Burning Crusade Classic. And something that I thought was very cool at Burning Crusade Classic is that you can buy a boost to level 58. So you don't have to do 1 through 60. You can just buy the boost and go jump straight into Outlands and level up in Outlands, those 12 levels, 58 to 70. And I was like, wow, that actually may get me into Burning Crusade Classic.
I mean, I did never play Burning Crusade, and a lot of people say that's probably... Wait, was that really a good expansion? I feel like it probably wasn't.
I think that it's hard for me to say, because by the time I got to 70, Wrath of Lich King was almost out. Like, I did a little bit of the first raid, and that was it. But people say it's really good. I remember I love the questing compared to Classic. Oh my gosh, the questing is infinitely better. Compared to today's questing, it sucks. But at the time, it was awesome. I think the raids are what made Burning Crusade so good. Like the WoW Classic raids are like okay, but the Burning Crusade raids are kind of like where they like the raids we have now of like mechanics and like, you know, set responsibilities people have to do. Like, you know, it's more than just tank and spank like the Classic raids were. So that's what I'm excited about. And that's why I want to play Burning Crusade Classic, is just to experience those raids. Cause I never got to experience them before. I don't know. I think it'd be fun. I don't know if I'd say I recommend it to you, cause I know you're not that much into like grindy games. I mean, it's definitely going to be a grind to get to 70, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, that's all I have. I don't know. Again, you'll probably drag me into it just to like level up, and then maybe I'll make it to a raid, because I'm kind of interested. I think I've run through some of the Burning Crusade raids like at max level already, just like for like mount stuff, mount runs or something like that. But it's not the real experience. We essentially just tank spank them whenever you go back when you're full of, like a different level.
Exactly.
So I don't even think I ever actually went and did the Illidan fight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, like even to this day, you never gone back and
I
done it?
So if I did, I only did it one time and I don't remember it.
See, for me, I'm super excited because I remember when I was in high school seeing you remember Isle of Keldonis? Do you remember that little island?
I remember that. I remember watching you run around in circles on that island for hours. Doing the dailies. Because I think that's when they introduced dailies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like the first daily hub zone they ever had. I remember I freaking loved that place. And there was a raid there, Sunwell Plateau. And I thought that raid looked so cool, but I couldn't get into it because it didn't have enough gear. And to this day, I'm like, man, that raid looks like so much fun. And so that's like the pinnacle reason why I want to play Burning Crusade Classic, is because I want to be able to actually do that raid now. So I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so that concludes our World of Warcraft section. I don't know how many people that actually listen to this play World of Warcraft besides us.
We'll get into play at some point.
I know. We'll just talk about it enough that they'll at least level up.
Yep. If you like a referral code, just message us on Twitter at BasementGaming9, and I'll be free to give you one.
For sure. Anyway. All right, I think that's what we had today. I gotta go to one of our cousins' place to take a shower, so that should be fun.
Oh man. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your crazy week to come and sit down with the podcast. And thank you everybody else for listening.
Yeah, it's good to get a little break from Armageddon and have a good time.
A little break from Armageddon. Yeah. That might be the name of this episode. Break from Armageddon.
Yeah, hopefully my life is back to normal next time when you hear from us. But if you like the show, come back next time and have a good one.
Peace.